Brother Brian has asked that we turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16 for the scripture this morning, verses 1 to 13. Brother Ray suggested that I share just something with you a little bit. Where we're at, it's just not a whole lot to tell you other than actually I'm doing pretty good. I've been pretty stable. Kidney function is about half of what it should be, but it's been stable. And we thank you for your love and your prayers, all the support that we receive and have received and continue to receive. We appreciate that. As always, God is better than good. He is great and continues to walk with us. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 to 13. And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Samuel said, How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, Take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. Thou shalt anoint me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest thou peaceably? And he said, Peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab, and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesus called Abinadab, and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. And again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, The Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are they here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. For all who are able, we would ask that you would kneel for prayer.
Good morning. I greet each one of you also in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title for this morning's sermon is Choosing What God Has Already Chosen. Choosing What God Has Already Chosen. If you would, turn to John chapter 15, verse 16. John chapter 15, verse 16. I heard a brother in our congregation recently speak on this verse. It was at a youth meeting, and the application that evening was made for youth as they make decisions growing up to choose God's will, to choose the way that God has chosen for them. I think it's applicable for many situations, if not all the situations of life. Choosing what God has already chosen. John 15, 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained or appointed you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever ye shall ask in the Father, and whatever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. choosing what God has already chosen. As we go through life, we're faced with many decisions. What should we do? Which way shall we turn? I want you to see here the blessings that are promised if you choose the way God has chosen. If you choose to do God's will. Look at it. The three outcomes of making the decision is that you'll bring forth fruit. It'll be good. It'll be beneficial for you to choose the way that God has already chosen for you. Your fruit will remain, it says. Not only will you bear fruit, good fruit, but it'll remain. It'll last a lifetime. After you're dead, the fruit will remain from you choosing the way that God has already chosen. And it says that your prayers will be answered. We're told many times in Scripture, if we pray according to God's will, our prayers will be answered. Is that what you want? Is that what you want? Limitless blessings that come as we make decisions according to the way that God would will it, or the decision that God has already made. I'm especially thinking about that in regards to the decisions that face us today and tonight. Choosing the one that God has already chosen. That's our job tonight. To choose the men that God has already chosen. Through his foreknowledge, through his sovereignty, God has been preparing leaders for this congregation. Through all their trials of life, over the last 20, 30, 40 years of their lives, God has been preparing, God has been calling leaders for this congregation. And that should thrill our soul tonight. God wants us to have good leaders, and God has been preparing them. God loves us that much. Your job tonight is to lay your finger and point to the man that God has already chosen. It's your job. Like the prophet Samuel in that text that was read, your responsibility is to choose the man that God has already chosen. We use the term election, but I don't like it at all. It seems the easiest term to use in what we're going to do tonight. But when we think of election, we think of voting in people we like. People that maybe have the same biases that we have. In national elections or elections in the world, we think of platforms, things that are believed. I prefer the word for what's going to happen tonight is confirmation over election. You see, what we're doing tonight is not a popular vote. It's not you naming your man. It's not you choosing who you want. It's not the one that agrees with your biases. It's not even the one that you think would do the best job. Your job tonight, your responsibility, is to choose the one that God has already chosen. And we struggle with that, don't we? A brother said in Sunday school that he was struggling with the decisions to make tonight. I've struggled for the last number of months. But that's our job, to choose the one that God has already chosen. Turn, if you would, to the verses that were read, 1 Samuel 16. I draw your attention to a few phrases. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, but I want you to see a few things. 1 Samuel verse 16, chapter 16, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, Take a heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. God rejected Saul. If we look back at chapter verse 26, God says to Samuel that he rejected Saul because Saul rejected the word of God. So here we see that God rejected Saul. And he has a man for the job. And that man in verse 1, he says, I have provided. That means I have looked ahead. I have seen this man. I have chosen this man. For your good and for your people. Verse 3 and 4. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him who I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming. And he said, Comest thou peaceably? And he said, Peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. Samuel comes. He comes to worship. He comes to present a sacrifice. And God says in that worship service, anoint the one that I shall name you, unto you. While you're coming to worship me, while you're coming to bow down before me, while you're coming in submission to me, I will give you the name of the one that you're to anoint. I will name him unto thee. Apparently, as we read on here in verse 6, Samuel had his own ideas. Samuel knew who he wanted to be king. Reading on. And it came to pass that when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused, I have rejected him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for the man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. God has the ability that we don't have completely. God has the ability to look on a man's heart. God has the ability to choose perfectly. If you're wondering who to name tonight, choose the man that God has already chosen, and you won't choose incorrectly. Reading on. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this one. And Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, The Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Here are all thy children. And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he comes hither. One after one, the sons of Jesse, followed by Samuel. And God said, It's not this one. It's not this one. It's not this one. verses 12 and 13. And he sent and brought him in, and now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Your job today, your job tonight, my job tonight is through prayer, through listening to the Holy Spirit, through reading God's word, to lay our finger upon the one that God has already chosen, the one that God tells you, this is he. We need to get it fixed in our minds today. We are not choosing the leaders. We are confirming the ones that God has already chosen. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Begin reading at verse 11. I would call your attention really to the first three words. And he gave. And he gave. And he gave some apostles. And he gave some to be prophets. And he gave some to be evangelists. And he gave some to be pastors and teachers. For the work of perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. And for the edifying of the body of Christ. And he gave. Leadership is a gift that God has given you. He gave it. He chose the one. He provided. He gave. Galatians 1, verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Notice here, when it pleased God, God chose Paul. It pleased him. Paul was separated unto God for the work from his mother's womb, Scripture says. And Paul was called by the grace of God to preach the gospel to the heathen. Called from his mother's womb. To you ministers and deacons that are going to be named tonight, the Lord willing, I want you, if I can give you any gift, I want you to get it fixed in your head that you are chosen by God. You need to believe that if you're going to fulfill your job as leader. You're not a hired man chosen by this congregation. Because we know that when it's chosen by man, man can also unchoose you. You're not chosen because you're popular and you're well liked. Because you may be popular today, but because of decisions, you may be unpopular tomorrow. You have to get it fixed in your mind that you're chosen by God. That when the hard times come, when you start getting flack, when you start getting pushback, you have to know in your mind that you're chosen by God. Or else you throw your hands up and say, I didn't ask for the job. Let someone else do it. It's so important for you, brethren, that are named tonight, to know that you are chosen by God, that he has prepared you from your mother's womb for this responsibility. You are chosen by God and confirmed by a loving congregation that needs you very much. 1 Timothy 1:12, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." We see from this verse that the ones that are called to leadership are not only chosen by God, they're equipped and they're prepared by God, and they serve with the strength of God. If you're named tonight, I beg you, get it in your mind that you're chosen by God. You're chosen by God. The sovereign God of the universe, the great I Am, the one that says, "I am the Lord and there is no other," called you and chose you. To the congregation, I tell you, we have a serious responsibility, a sobering responsibility. The ones you named tonight will be leaders, if the Lord tarries, 30, 40, 50 years. They're going to lead the congregation through hard times ahead. I believe in their leadership term, persecution will come harder on the church. I went through our yearbook, counted the members, counted the non-members and the children and the ones that are coming, the ones that are associated with our congregation. Between 400 and 500 souls are looking for leadership. We need to choose the man that God has chosen. Apostasy. It's in the church now. And John tonight is going to lay his finger on men to help fight it. To help fight it. The promises that we read about in John 15 and 16. Do you want that for this congregation? Do you want this congregation to bear fruit? Do you want the fruit to remain? Do you want our prayers to be answered? The answer is choosing the man that God has already chosen. You and I have a sobering responsibility before us today. And that's to know the will of God. To know the one that he has chosen. And I believe we can do that. I believe we can do that. So how do we know? How do we know the men that God has already chosen? One way we know it is through prayer. James tells us, if we lack wisdom, if we need help, ask God, and he gives to all men generously, freely. Tonight, this congregation needs wisdom. We need wisdom. Oh, how I hope that you've been bathing the decision in prayer. I trust that your decision tonight is bathed in prayer. If you haven't been praying, you have this afternoon. You have this afternoon. Secondly, how to know God's will? You need to listen. You prayed for wisdom. You prayed for God to tell you who he's appointed. Listen. Listen. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you and direct you. To do that, you must lay aside your personal wishes and wants. And that's the hard part. Because in our mind, we know who we want. But we need to know who God wants. And you'll never hear the Holy Spirit speak to you if you're forceful with your will and your desire. You'll never hear him. Turn, if you would, to John 14. We'd like to go quickly through a number of verses here in John, just to remind us that it is possible for us to know the will of God. John 14, 16 and 17. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. John 15, 26. And when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. The Holy Spirit, if you allow, will lead you to truth, will lead you to the Father's will. John 16, verse 3. I'm sorry, John 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Do you ever wonder why we don't use the lot in choosing leadership? Because we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is dwelling in us. The Holy Spirit, if you allow him, will guide you to all truth. God will speak to you. Won't you allow the Holy Spirit to guide you, laying aside your wants and your desires this afternoon? Ask God, the Holy Spirit, to guide you into all truth. Thirdly, how will you know the man that God has laid his hand upon is to study God's word? God speaks to us through his word. There's a number of passages of scripture that God uses to speak to us regarding leadership. I will list them here for you. You can write them down if you want. You can read over them this afternoon and allow God to speak to you through them. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Acts 6, 1 to 6. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 22 to 26. Romans 15, verses 14 to 27, and Titus chapter 1. There, I'm certain there are more that I neglected, but if you go home, you pray, you listen for the Holy Spirit's leading, you read over these verses and allow God to speak to you, you can know the will of God. You can know the one that he has chosen for leadership. Turn, if you would, to Titus 1 very quickly. I'd just like to look at that. I don't know the passage that our brother will speak from tonight, but just very quickly, I'd like to go over Titus chapter 1, beginning at verse 7. Here we know that Paul left Titus behind to build a church, to set a church in order. And God, through the pen of Paul, gives these qualifications. Again, we see it's not a popular vote. It's not for a man who wants a job necessarily. It may not even be for the man who has natural gifts. But this is what God is looking for in leadership. Verse 6. If any man be blameless, blameless does not mean perfect or no one would get in. Blameless is that someone who lives a life that has nothing to hide. Yes, he sins, but he runs to God in repentance. That's what blameless means. Living a life of righteousness. Not perfect, but living a life of righteousness. A righteous life. A man that can be an example, a pattern. A man that practices what he preaches. The husband of one wife. Not a polygamist, not having more than one wife. 3, the third one, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. Again, not perfect children. Not perfect children. But children that don't run to riot. Riot is dissipation. Riot is the same word used to describe the prodigal son and Brother Glenn's message last evening. Riot means someone without pleasure seeking, not wasteful. Unruly children here is in open rebellion. In open rebellion, insubordinate. Not perfect children, but children that can't be accused of riot or unruly. 7, verse 7, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God. God lists as a qualification one that's a steward of God. One who's willing to take the position of service. One that lives to do the master's will. One that manages his things and his time and his money, not as his own, but of the master's. Here we see one that has a heart of service. A heart of service. A steward job is prepare each of us to be part of the body of Christ. To be ready for that great day. And that steward will give account, Scripture says, of whether they've been faithful or not. Not self-willed. Not promoting his own agenda. Beware of those that have an agenda, but willing to submit to the master, willing to follow God's will, willing to choose what God chooses. Not demanding their own way. He must not soon be angry. Not quick-tempered. Doesn't fly off the handle. Not given to wine. Not under the control of a substance. No striker means not violent. Not violent in action. Not violent in speech. Doesn't attack. Not given to filthy lucre means not greedy for money. The leaders we call cannot be driven by money. Because as leaders, they'll soon lose out on money. leader called to serve the church misses out on a lot of overtime at work. The leader called to serve the church will lose out on money. The lawn may not always be mowed, and the flower beds may not always be done to perfection. The wife and the children in that family will have to work harder at home because of the father's responsibility to the church. And you just can't do it all. Verse 8, a lover of hospitality. You have to like people. You have to love people. You have to have a heart for people. The steward loves to serve and loves to labor for people. They must be more interested in people than in business. 2 Corinthians 12:15. I will gladly spend and be spent for you. That's what hospitality means. Willing to spend and be spent for someone else. Sober. This one doesn't make a joke about everything. Yes, they can be lighthearted at times. Yes, they can be fun to be around. But a sober man knows that they're going to deal with issues of eternal life and eternal death. And it's always in their mind. Sober. One doesn't cheapen the gospel by foolish behavior. Just means right towards man. Holy means right towards God. Self-control. And lastly, in verse 9, God says a leader must hold fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. God says, I need somebody. I want somebody. I've chosen somebody for this job that will uphold my word. My word in its fullness. Not just the parts they want or they like. That's what God would have us to have in a leader tonight. Someone that's going to uphold his word. Someone that upholds all the truths of Scripture. Brothers and sisters, we have a great responsibility before us today. It's our responsibility to confirm the one that God has chosen. Chosen from his mother's womb. To lay your finger and say, you are the one that God has chosen. You are the one that God has prepared. You are the one that God has equipped. And I believe you can know the one that God has chosen. You can do it through prayer. Ask God to give you the wisdom. You do it for listening. Allow the Spirit to direct you. Die to self. Die to the one that you want. And listen for God's. And we do it by reading God's word and allowing him to speak. Recently, I had the privilege of officiating at another congregation where they called ministers. They still did it the way we used to do it. They passed by the ministers, the visiting ministers, and they'd whisper a name. I was impressed by how many whispered, in place of a name, God's will be done. You know, that is an appropriate answer tonight, God's will be done. I tell you, if you haven't sought the face of God, if you haven't sought God's will in prayer, if you haven't read His Word, if you haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to lead you, then your answer must be tonight, God's will be done. It's that serious. If you haven't run to Him for the answer, for the man that He's chosen, your answer needs to be, God's will be done. If you're coming to the meeting tonight, and it's your desire to promote your man, it's your desire to push your own agenda, then your answer tonight should be God's will be done. If you sought God in prayer, you read the qualifications, you worked through the scriptures, you've done everything that you can do, and you don't have clear direction, I believe the answer on the ballot, God's will be done, is perfectly fine. That's the place where I am in many things. God has not laid on my heart, and I have earnestly sought Him. God has not laid on my heart yet who He has chosen. But I tell you, brothers and sisters, it's that serious a decision that you make tonight. It's that critical that you choose the man that God has already chosen for the job. It's crucial for a congregation, but it's also crucial for the ones that are named tonight. They have to know, they have to be assured in their heart that they are chosen by God and not by man. God chooses the leadership. Man confirms the one God has already chosen. May God bless you.
All those who are able, could we kneel together in prayer?